This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Life is often considered a journey. It's filled with a variety of circumstances, conditions, and opportunities. Sometimes they are planned, and yes, sometimes they are not. In addition, we can also find ourselves doing things we shouldn't be doing. This can be due from causes we weren't expecting or just bad choices we made along the way. However, we learn that decisions, don't we, have consequences, and the results of our decisions can have long-lasting and sometimes life-changing effects. This has caused some to ask, can I be forgiven of the mistakes and unfortunate choices I've made over the course of my life? Can I be forgiven for the hurt and pain, suffering and anguish I've caused in the lives of others? And most importantly, will God forgive me? Or have I committed this unpardonable sin? Well, on today's program, we're going to explore from the pages of your Bible just what the unpardonable sin is, and hopefully give you some insight as to how to avoid finding yourself committing this unpardonable sin. So stay with us as we explain what is the unpardonable sin.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. It is good to be with all of you once again. You know, many of us from time to time struggle with this thing called forgiveness. Life has a way of being brutal upon us, and oftentimes the circumstances, the experiences we have, cause us hurt, cause us loss, causes us hurt and loss in relationships with people. It causes hurt and loss in missed opportunities. The old adage, could have, should have, and would have, kind of comes to mind, because these are conditions, circumstances that we find ourselves contending with that oftentimes have effects on us. And in some cases, depending on what those circumstances were, does include or involve forgiveness. In the long run, it could involve forgiveness. Now, forgiveness comes in primarily two major categories. Keeping it simple for this program, I just want to bring that to your attention. One is forgiving others, and the second one is forgiving yourself. Now, it's this second category that I would like to focus on a little bit for the remainder of the program, this one of forgiving one's self. Because sometimes, depending on what the situation is, depending on what the experience is, depending on the degree of loss or the degree of hurt that comes from what you're going through, makes it sometimes even harder to forgive yourself than it does to forgive others. Oh yeah, that's right, my friend. Sometimes people have a harder time dealing with forgiving themselves than forgiving other people. And this leads to an interesting dilemma in the minds of some people, and it brings them to tumble to a question. And the question is that could they have committed the unpardonable sin? And what I mean by that, could God be in such a position that he would not forgive them for what they did? And this comes from, what underpins a lot of this is the fact that people can't forgive themselves for what they've done. And many times, like I said, people come to this question, have I committed the unpardonable sin? Is that even possible, that God would not forgive you? Well, we're going to explore that question a little bit, but before I do, let me go ahead and interrupt myself, as we usually do here on the broadcast, to let you know of a couple of offers that we have. Free offers. Let me emphasize that. Free. Nobody's going to be asking you for money. Nobody's going to be trying to get their hand in your pocket to ask you for money. We have these as free offers to you to enhance your understanding about this topic of the unpardonable sin that we're discussing. That's right, my friend. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791 and ask for What is the Unpardonable Sin? A small little booklet, easily read in one sitting, but it'll enhance and, as I say, augment what I'm going to be sharing with you in the remainder of this telecast, and will be hopefully edifying to you because it'll go into more detail than what I'll be able to do. Secondly, we have a one-hour presentation given before a live audience titled Considerations About Forgiveness. That's right, Considerations About Forgiveness. It's a one-hour audio message that you can download. As a matter of fact, you can download both of these free offers off of our website, too, at cgi.org. You don't even have to wait. I mean, you can get it even before this broadcast is over by just going to our cgi.org website and download What is the Unpardonable Sin? Or Considerations About Forgiveness. Both are free. And, oh, by the way, let me remind you, we have webcast programs throughout the week, scattered throughout the week, in the evening, in some cases even in the afternoons at noon, called Prove All Things. That's a new program that we've got going, and we wanted to share that with you, that information, so that you can take a look at, go over to our website at cgi.org, and go to Live Webcasts, hit on that, drop down, and you can see the scheduling of programs that are scheduled throughout the week, whether it's Monday through Sunday at evening times. We have Bible studies sometimes on Wednesday nights and Tuesday nights and Thursday nights. So take a look at those schedules and mark your calendars and see if you can't rendezvous with us for these particular services. And one last thing, this app that we've got, you got to download it. You just got to download this app. It, too, is free. You can pick it up at most all of the app stores that you're familiar with, Google and Apple and so forth, and go ahead and get it because it will help you to navigate through our website very easily and see many of the products that we have there to offer. So one more time, also 888-578-8791. You can order these things on the website there at cgi.org. Okay, back to the program here, covering this subject, as you can see over my shoulder, what is the unpardonable sin? And that's what we're talking about, because that is the question that some people tumble to as a result of not forgiving themselves. And sadly, that is a problem in the lives of some people. And people come to this idea because of certain scriptures in the Bible. As a matter of fact, let me turn your attention over here to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and this scripture that Peter mentions and he wrote down for us to read gives people the indication that if you backslide, and that's what we're talking about, a backslidden Christian, if I can use that term, who is in trouble, he is sinning, but he's accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, but now he's gone off the rails. He's in a rut, and he's going off in a lifestyle that is different. And here, Peter, in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, we read this particular description of what Peter warns this kind of individual about. And he says here in verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome by the entanglement, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." So what Peter is saying is, look, if you fall away, the going back into the world is worse than it was when you came out and began to have a relationship with God. He continues in verse 21 of 2 Peter chapter 2 and says this, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned back to its vomit again, and the pig that was washed clean, that was washed, back to her wallowing in the mire or in the mud. In other words, Peter says they go back to their old ways, and in so doing, his warning is it becomes even worse going back the second time. Now, there's another scripture over here in Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 26, it gets into a little more detail about this condition that we notice here of backsliding. It says here in verse 26 of Hebrews chapter 10, "For if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins." Notice this now, verse 27. "But a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more," he says here, the writer does, "sorer punishment suppose you should he who that trodden's underfoot the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sacrificed an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, 'Vengeance belongs to me, I will recompense,' says the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Now, this is a very important point of Scripture that we all want to be aware of, and I want to bring your attention back to this word willfully, because this word willfully is implicit. It's implicit of something that's habitual, that it's ongoing, it's willful. There's a premeditated act going on here that somebody is involved with something that they're doing over and over and over, and it's being repeated, my friends. It's being repeated like a lifestyle. It is something that is actually habitual in the behavioral patterns of the person, and consequently is indeed now part of what he is. And sadly, this word, Greek word, willful, is now a very important fulcrum. It's a very important underscore that causes one to understand he is in contrariness, or he's contrary to what God wants him to be. Now, how do I know that? Well, over here in Matthew chapter 25, let me just take your attention over here to Matthew chapter 25, because Jesus gives us an idea of what's expected of the Christian. That is, the person who is really on the track. He hasn't been off the track. He hasn't backslid. He's still on target. He is still following his way when he accepted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as his Savior. This is how he will be acting. And Jesus goes through a description here to give us what you could say an insight that we could contrast against what would be defined as a sinning lifestyle. So here in verse 35, chapter 25 of the book of Matthew, we read this. Verse 34, let's go back up to verse 34. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, herein is the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' But then the righteous, they answer him and they said, 'Lord, when did we see you hunger or thirsty? Or when did we give you drink or visit you? Or when you were naked, gave you clothes? Or when you were sick, visited you? Or in prison? When did we do this?' And the king shall answer and say, 'Truly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, other people, in other words, people of the world. If you're not a kind, what Jesus is saying is, if you're not a kind person, you don't care about other people, well, then you've got a problem, because that's not what I expect of you. What I expect of you is that if somebody's sick, you should visit them. You should pray for them. You should take care of them. If they need clothes and you've got the wherewithal to provide them a bit of clothing, well, then go ahead and do what you can and donate some clothes for them, and on and on. And that's the contrast here that Jesus is making as he continues down through this narrative of good and bad works. He continues on here, verse 44, "Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hunger and athirst, and a stranger, naked, sick, in prison?" Verse 45, "Then shall he answer them, saying, truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of these, you did it not to me." And that's the contrast. So the expectation is that you should be doing these things for people. In the book of James, I'll reference it here. Well, let's just turn there real quickly here, because I think it does us well, just if nothing else, to hit on a few scriptures here in James. After Hebrews chapter 2, we read this with regard to the issue of behaviors working in conjunction with your faith. People say, well, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. All you've got to do is believe. Well, James says very clearly here that he says in this portion of Scripture in chapter 2, where he states that even the demons will shake and tremble because of the fact that they understand. Verse 19, here it is. You believe that there is one God. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've accepted him into your heart. Well, that's great. You've done well. The devils, they also believe and tremble. In other words, that doesn't get you anywhere even above the devils, because the demons are also shaking in their boots about the fact of their judgment coming upon them. And so what's the point in James chapter 2? The point is that he says in verse 16, verse 17, "Even so faith, if it have not works," or behaviors, if there's not something of substance coming from your faith, something that is actually got intrinsic value that affects the results or the outcome of certain circumstances, well, then he says here in verse 17, the faith is dead, because faith, if it has not works, being alone, is worthless. So what is James saying here? James is saying that if you want to add value to your faith, my friends, if you want your faith to have some kind of real intrinsic importance and value, then you've got to do something with it. There's got to be some action. There's got to be some behaviors that do indeed result from these very acts of the faith that you have. Because, frankly, what we're talking about here is two ways of living. Now, let me take you back and remind you that we're talking about this unpardonable sin, and the fact that a human being, if he finds God in his life, he has that come to Jesus moment, and he does indeed have a relationship with God the Father, and is in fact doing what was described in Matthew 25, is in fact doing a good work as described in James chapter 2, but now backslides out of that groove. He falls out of that lane, that avenue, and goes back to the way he was. That's what we're talking about. Could God forgive him? Or is that an unforgivable act that God will not forgive him? What does God say? God says, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you." God says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." God clearly says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. God additionally, He clearly says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want you to go back with me, my friends, over here back to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and in particular, chapter 6. I want you to notice something very interesting that you need to take note of, because this is key to recovering oneself out of a backsliding condition. Over here in Hebrews chapter 6, and in verse 4, the writer states this, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame." Now, I'm sharing that scripture with you because in one case it sounds like, again, if that backslider backslides, he has no avenue of which to recover through. But that's not true. Did you notice that word renew? That's key. That's very much a key to this condition, that if indeed there is a desire, a will, a motivation, one being compelled to repent and thereby be renewed again. Yes, my friends, that's the key. That's the door opener to actually the recovery condition of a Christian. Yes, he can, if indeed he is able to come to this repentance and renewal, is able to recover himself. Now notice, I'm not making this stuff up. Over here, let's go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, and in chapter 3, and in this case again, one more time, because this term repentance becomes very important to the renewal process. And that's what I'm talking about. Here in, again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, notice this. After talking about the end times and things moving ahead, Jesus' return is approaching and so forth, Peter states this very clearly. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 3 and over in verse 9, "The Lord is not slack in His promise, as some men would count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Wherever there is repentance, there is forgiveness, my friends. Repentance is the door opener back to God's grace. Without doubt, we can recover or be recovered if indeed we repent. So we see this idea of repentance, and we come to understand that repentance isn't something that you just do prior to baptism. Oh no, my friends. Repentance is a whole frame of mind that sticks with you as a Christian, or it should, throughout the rest of your life, even after you're baptized. Because you see, the Christian way of life demands of us as human beings, Christian human beings, converted human beings, humility. And that humility is very important in helping us to recognize that when we mess up, when we fall off the log, as they would say, fall off the wagon again in our struggle, as Paul did over there in Romans chapter 7, remember that? "I do the things that I shouldn't do, and the things that I know to do, I can't seem to find the willpower to do it." And therefore, even Paul said, he finds himself sinning. That spiritual giant, the Apostle Paul, sharing us with us, that is, that struggle that he had inside him in Romans 7, chapter 7, where he basically discloses his inner self, his inner war, his inner fighting that he had personally with his struggles of whatever those weaknesses were. And we're told there that he failed. He failed it from time to time. And guess what? I know there are many of us who struggle with all kinds of vices, all kinds of problems, whether it's pornography, homosexuality, whether it's some kind of an addiction to drugs or alcohol or something, some idol in our life that we're just obsessed in pursuing, and that's what our life is consumed with because that's what we do, that's what we live for. I'm a consumer, I'm an eater, I'm a Pac-Man, and that's why I live. I live to do whatever this idol is driving me in this obsession to achieve and accomplish. And there are many of us, and I know that, many of us that struggle with these things in our lives. But my friends and brethren, those of you who have been converted and maybe are off the wagon right now on the ground, maybe it's time for you to recognize, you know what? I'm sorry, and be remorseful, and grab back that repentant spirit, that repentant attitude that comes through the humility of accepting the fact and acknowledging that you are accountable, you are responsible for the decision you made that put you back out of the wagon, you fell off the log, and you're on the ground now, but that doesn't stop you from going back into God's graces, because he said that if you draw close to me, I will draw close to you. That's an assurance. God will always, my friends, forgive you if you have a repentant heart. So repent, get back in the wagon, get back up on the log, and get back in following Matthew 25 and adhering to James 2. Look, time's run out on me, so get those free offers that we're offering to you. And those two free offers that we mentioned, again, let me remind all of you once more. What is The Unpardonable Sin? A piece of literature easily read in one sitting. It's a small little booklet, multi-pages, but you can certainly read it in one sitting. And a CD, one-hour presentation before a live audience titled Considerations About Forgiveness. Both of these will complement what we talked about today and give you a better insight on more depth in this particular area of the unpardonable sin and forgiveness. My friends, this is Bill Watson, and as we always do, let me remind you, you keep on that armor of God in these evil days.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.